Welcome to the space show, Anne.
Thank you. It's very nice to be invited.
What's your role with the European Space Agency?
Well, 4 or 5 years ago, ESA decided that there was such a serious shortage of young people coming into STEM activities. STEM activities being science, technology, engineering, mathematics. To run a space program in Europe, we need the very best. In fact, in the Western world, we need the very best. And in order to do this, we need to encourage young people to go to university to read and specialise in these subjects. However, young people are choosing wider options. They're choosing business studies, economics, computer software is a softer option, and we don't have the in-depth specialists. And on top of that, we have such a shortage of teachers, specialist teachers. For instance, in Italy, we'll lose 2 out of 3 teachers in the next 5 years to 10 years, and there aren't enough people coming in to replace them. And so they've got a serious issue on their hands. So what can they do? You can't change things overnight, but you can support, you can encourage. And using the avenues that they have, including space as an engagement point, we try very hard to support those who deliver education, to help them use this as a magic engagement factor, to take people on a journey, to take them down roads which they perhaps thought they weren't even able to go down, or even roads that they didn't even know existed. And if you can engage them, if you can create that wow factor, if you can light that candle, then you can take people on a journey and you can provide the very best for the next generation.
Is it quite common that students can't see the options in front of them?
I think they can see the options very well, and in the 60s, when all of the people like ourselves were finishing at university or going to university, it was a post-modern war world where science and technology was very important, and it was, for many of us, the only option to leave working class backgrounds. For many people, they didn't have the option of going to university in the past, and science and technology offered you a career for life. But nowadays, the chocolate box is that much greater, and the young people of today have been brought up in a world with 2 televisions in the house, 2 cars in the drive. They are used to a lifestyle, and it's about lifestyle. And so they choose options which lets them live that lifestyle. It's about going to have fun at university. It's about going to clubs. It's about going to coffee bars. It's about having fast cars. It's about having a reward for your job sooner rather than later. And they tend to see traditional subjects as hard work, or they perceive them as being hard work or boring, and there's no kudos, no street cred. And this is a challenge that we have to face. It's not just that they're not clever or they're not able to do this, but they choose to have an alternative lifestyle.
So what active steps are you taking then to remedy this?
Do you mean me personally or ESA?
ESA.
Well, ESA's offering support to the deliverers. ESA, like societies like the Aerospace Engineering Society, they do what they can using the parameters that they have. Space is sexy. It's fantastic. It's wow. And you can actually use that to get people on board, and then you can take them on a journey. So we're using the parameters that we have that will support the deliverers, and we'll make their lessons, we'll make their opportunities richer, more lively, more appealing. And from that, we can take them, hopefully, on a journey.
And you said the other option was, what are you personally doing about it as well?
Well, as a teacher in the classroom for 20 years and as an examiner, I managed to walk both paths. And because I can actually understand what's needed in the classroom, because I've been there myself and I know what it's like, you have 40 minutes to teach a class. You've got to get them in, you've got to take the register, you've got to give them the homework, you've got to sort them out, someone's left their folder somewhere, there's never enough textbooks to go around. And you cannot deal with great and wonderful ideas. You still hope to light those candles. You hope and pray that we light the souls, that we make all the hairs stand up on the back of the neck. But in 40 minutes, it's pushing your luck a little bit sometimes, especially with that year 9 class, you know. And so what I do is try and work with the scientists, and I actually take what I know is good, that is attractive, and I try and make it bite-sized, and then to share it with the people in the classroom to make it appropriate with the right differentiation, with the right factors that make it doable for teachers.
And how long has this been going on for?
This has had an education programme for 5 years, and I'm only one consultant that supports it. There are lots of other people in the programme that work in different areas.
So you've had a little while to measure the success or failure of it. How's it going?
I think most people, when they realise that it's there, jump, they go for it. They like it. So many teachers will say, wow, I didn't know this existed. I went to a teacher conference and handed out some sheets of paper and said, well, tell me what you'd like. Be honest. And we had 2,864 sheets of paper returned in 24 hours saying, yes, 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 give us this, give us that, everything. And so there is a call for this. It's like dinosaurs, space dinosaurs, bits of body. If you can do anything to do with the Black Death, with pustules and dead frogs, the kids go for it in a big way. So the art is to take the wrapping paper and to use this to make kids pick up a topic and take them on a journey. Part of what I do is to show teachers how they can make space valid, an experience in the classroom. So it's how to do role play, it's how to use space as the wrapping paper. So for instance, children dress up, we use role play, and it's a very important part of teaching empathy, because by changing the clothes it makes you behave in a different way. Choristers practice in their robes simply because it calms them down. You put 7-year-olds in long cassocks, they can't run around, they have to slow down or they fall over. It changes the behavioural pattern. And you can actually control behaviour. You can actually take people on a mental journey just by changing clothes. That's why when we have corporate activities somewhere, you put suits on, because they change and they have to work as a team. It's part of the empathy. And what I do is show teachers how they can make, at cost price, simple suits for the children that will actually get this over. Whether it's simple flying suit, which is in the public domain, you can buy that for a few dollars. You can buy all the badges from museums. They can afford to do that. In the school catalogues, you can buy painting overalls for the kids. You can buy the blue ones which match the astronaut suits. You can make your whole space kit very simply and for very little cost, but it has exactly the right effect for the kids, and they learn how to do things. Simple things like putting some rubber bands around your fingers and then putting some thick gardening gloves on. You can't move your fingers, it's stiff, it hurts, it's really quite painful, and you can't pick things up. But that's a simple little exercise that makes them understand instantly how difficult it is to move the thick gloves and how difficult it is to pick things up and how to do things. And that's what I do. I bring space into the classroom. We use the images. We show teachers how you can take pictures and you can use them for art and for language. You can use them for developing use of language, for poetry, for creative writing, for fantasy. Or you can look at the images and say, how would you capture this as an art lesson? What sort of genre would you use? How do you use this? Is it a wet on wet technique? Is it a pastel? Is it a splattery effect? You can do symmetrical paintings with the butterfly prints. You can get mirrors out and you can look for axes of symmetry. You can do rotational axes of symmetry. You can then look at the strong shapes in helixes and in galaxies and then into snail shells. You can then move into Fibonacci sequences. You can move into Pascal's triangle. And from a simple starting point, space is an engagement point for going on a further journey. And the differentiation comes from the way in which a teacher uses it. They are the experts. They're the resource. And so a simple image I can use with a 4-year-old, but I can use the same image for its academic content with an 18-year-old to support a more advanced concept.
Many a teacher would kill for your job. How did you get into it?
Well, they advertised, and I thought, well, they might say yes. And so I applied, and here I am.
Was there anything in your background that gave you a predisposition towards this sort of job?
I think perhaps being a historian actually helps, because that's my first profession. I'm a historian and a museum curator, and I worked in a military museum. But to be a historian, you cannot understand history and the impact of events on the lives of people without understanding science and technology. Kings and queens come and go. There are theatres of war, usually far away in the past from your immediate home. And that doesn't have a great impact on your life immediately. But the use of locomotion, the market gardening, the possibilities, communication, electricity, penicillin, the Bessemer's converter, all of these things actually make the quality of life much richer and more accessible. And that is why history and science go together really well. They cannot be separated. In fact, a lot of science and technology is actually taught through history, but we don't call it science or technology. We build Roman bridges with the children. We actually look at arches. We look at flying buttresses. We actually build them out of polystyrene. And we're actually using forces and stresses, and we're using all the principles of physics. When we look at the Industrial Revolution, we teach about steam engines and about vacuums, and we go to the lab sometimes, and we make vacuums with pressure and suction. And then they go to a science lesson, so we've already done this. This isn't science. This is history. And by going through the back door, you can use this as an extra weapon or as a tool to encourage children to enjoy a subject without them being prejudiced against a title which they feel is not for me.
Mm. You've done a bit of gliding, I believe.
Well, just a little bit, yes. In Cambridge, I flew at Duxford for some years, yes.
Mm. Did you enjoy that?
Oh, it's fantastic. I'm actually a sailor. I love sailing with the elements, and gliding appeals for the same reasons, that you respect the elements, you use the elements. It's a challenge. It pushes you.
Well, thanks for joining us on the space show, Anne.
It's been fantastic to be here. Thank you very much.